this is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on Artificial Intelligence for Development. The participants are Biman Basu, science writer, and Riddhima Kaul, journalist.
Yesterday, the Honorable Prime Minister inaugurated this AI Institute in Mumbai. So that is the reason why we are probably talking about it, the rise of artificial intelligence, not just in India, the world over. Recently, Bill Gates, I think, also talked about the fact that how AI can be our friend. And also, if I quote him, he said society will be able to do more with less. First, Mr. Basu, you talk about how it is a good thing, if you can talk about, help us understand the positives of it.
See, artificial intelligence, we have been reading about in science fiction for a long, long time. There are many stories which give out ideas which now we relate to artificial intelligence. And what is artificial intelligence after all? See, we have been using computers for many years now. But computers can only work if programmed by a human being. So whatever it does faster, of course. It has a very strong memory and can retain the memory for a long time. You know, like human beings, it can't forget. But at the same time, normal computers can work only if they are programmed. That is, if the human being gives proper instructions to it to perform a certain task.
So it's the mind behind the machine, right?
Yeah, the human mind is acting behind the computer. Although it is faster, it can do many things which human beings cannot do. But basically, the brain behind a computer is the human mind. So artificial intelligence is different from this. See, engineers are trying to develop computer systems which can take their own decisions. For instance, today, when you fly, we occasionally find that, you know, the pilot or the commander, they're coming in within the plane, they're leaving their
autopilot
mode.
Yeah.
Now, this autopilot mode is a typical artificial intelligence system because the plane now knows how to, you know, behave in certain cases. That is, normally, if there is a turbulence or anything, it will automatically take the preventive
control
action, control over it. But while landing and taking off, it is the pilot who does it because there are many things which still now it is risky to control automatically.
Would require manual skills.
Manual skills. And take our mobile phones. There also, they work on artificial intelligence. Lots of things it can do without our telling them. And today, for instance, many agencies like Google, Amazon and all, they're using artificial intelligence to reach out to the customers. See, when you log into any site or two, three sites, Google or Yahoo knows
What your search preferences are, then they start
advertisements. You know?
True.
So this is another manifestation of artificial intelligence we see in our daily life.
But we don't probably take it too seriously. We don't give too much thought to it.
What is it going behind it? Yes, exactly. Mm. Because I tell you something very interesting. On my birthday, I found the Google logo, you know, which comes when you open the Google page, wish you a happy birthday. Now, how do they know that it's my birthday?
Yeah.
And they must be sending it to each individual whose birthday fell on that day. Now, this is another very peculiar, typical manifestation of artificial intelligence. They can keep track of your activity. They can track of so many things like your birthday and other things.
So, Mr. Basu, would you feel it's a good thing or a bad thing? How would you rate this whole transition now?
The example I gave you of the autopilot, that is a good thing because it reduces the strain of the pilots quite a lot. Because, you know, when you do long distance flying, 17 hours, 16 hours, then pilots get fatigued if they sit there continuously and all. If you put it on autopilot, it takes care of the plane, no problem. But at the same time, and there are many other things, which require sorting things or taking a decision based on maybe inflow of certain material or data, sorting them out and classifying them, they can be run automatically by an artificial intelligence system. But at the same time, as I told you, that how does Google know my date of birth? It sends a greetings to me. So this kind of thing, many people can take it as invasion of privacy. It is indeed. Because we have to give out our date of birth and anything in so many things. But normally, we used to fill up a form and forget about it. But now when you do it online, it is kept in memory of the system.
It's there in the cyberspace. Yeah.
So anybody can see it, access it, and then use it in any way. As I told you that when you log into different sites, the portal knows what are your preferences. You know, bombard you with advertisements.
So what are the areas where artificial intelligence right now, currently, I mean, has become a reality? Because obviously there is scope for much, much more. We all know that. The computer, the power of computer.
No, one thing, for instance, you know, automatic translation. You see, long ago, when you used to have an international conference at Vigyan Bhavan in Delhi, and he all the speeches were translated into 5 or 6 international languages by human beings. Today it is no more so, because now software is available which can translate automatically. And mind you, so translation is not just, you know, the equivalent word for a particular term. It is the syntax, it is the grammar, it is so many other things. But artificial intelligence takes care of everything and can translate smoothly without any mistake.
So there comes a question, you know, it's about replacing human beings, right, when we are talking about. So in a country like India, do you think it is a feasible, a good idea to, you know, look for, because we anyway have a population which is dependent on jobs, you know, we are an agrarian society, no doubt about that. But at the same time, there are a lot of people who are looking for jobs at any given point in time. So when you're talking about bringing in computers, so don't you think that would hamper their chances of making it to that working class?
No, that need not be true. But it is true that artificial intelligence is a good thing. But at the same time, especially for a developing country like India, it also puts a kind of risk, as you said, job loss and all. But if we look at the way computers have invaded our life, so many years ago when I was young, you know, when the computers were first introduced, there was strong opposition, especially from office workers and all, because they all thought that now their jobs will be in danger. But that has not happened actually, because, you know, computers I don't think has really replaced human beings in any sphere of life. In fact, it has increased the job opportunities, because now people who are doing computer programming and all, and India is one of the major countries
which are doing very well,
which the world knows as software developers.
Yes.
So this can also happen. You see, artificial intelligence, if it can reduce the time taken, or if it can do certain type of work more efficiently in a short time, it may give opportunity for more people to be in job. Because if they learn to develop artificial intelligence systems for different applications.
When we are talking about labor in terms of people working in a factory or people working in different sectors, now we have in education sector, healthcare sector, I mean, you look at robots performing surgeries also, and with equal precision, we have cardiac surgeries being performed in that department, it's there, cataract, these surgeries, LASIK and all, performed by computers very efficiently. So don't you think there it's a different ball game altogether?
When a computer or a robot does this surgery, the surgeon has to be there always.
Yes.
So he is indispensable. You cannot leave him out and do everything with a robot. That is not possible. Similarly, in many areas, as you said, agriculture, building industry, in these areas, artificial intelligence cannot do anything. Because here, human beings will have to
intervene at some point.
So, you know, there are areas where definitely the jobs will not be taken away, but there are certain areas there will be some problem. And any new technology, when it is introduced in society, this kind of things are always there. You cannot wish them away.
Mr. Balasu, do you think it's too early for India to introduce artificial intelligence in a big way, considering we have just launched an institute for AI? So do you think it's too early for us, that we need to take care of other things first and then reach to this level?
There are many things, especially in technology. If you don't start early, you are left behind. You can never catch up. I'll give you one small example. See, in space technology, India is among the topmost today. Even the United States is coming to us for launching their satellite. Now the thing is, how did India start its space program? We launched a satellite in 1975 when we didn't have a rocket. We got it launched by Soviet Union. Bhaskara, we got it launched by Soviet Union. At that time, we didn't have any rocket. Then 1975-77, SITE program, I don't know whether you've heard about it, Satellite Instructional Television Experiment.
Yeah.
During this experiment, 2,400 villages in India got direct television through satellite, direct to home. Just to see, you know, the Indian space scientists wanted to see how space technology can be used for the benefit of people. So those television programs were on agriculture, on healthcare, so many things. It was a tremendous success. And by the time INSAT was launched in 1982, we were all familiar with how to use satellite for television broadcast. And, you know, all the three things went parallelly. We didn't wait that we should first develop the rocket, then we'll develop the satellite, then we'll do the application. So here also, in artificial intelligence, if we wait till we solve all the poverty problems and everything, then we can never reach. It has to be parallel, it has to be simultaneous.
And so what are the areas where you think we need it currently?
No, now it is already being used, I think, to a very limited extent.
Limited extent.
In healthcare, for instance. You see, one thing that rather expanding quite fast is this remote medical care.
Telemedicine.
Telemedicine. Okay. Now, there the advantage is that a doctor in a big city, the patient in a village can interact with him. And within very short time can get some help, some suggestions, or even...
That saves them the travel time, actually, commuting from their village to coming to the city.
That is definitely a very big point as far as the advantage of this kind of interaction is concerned. Now, this artificial intelligence, yes, it is too early to say how it will really shape in a country like India. Because as I told you, that you know, especially when you develop a computer program, especially, and when you talk of artificial intelligence, it involves our life. So it involves our lifestyles. It involves so many other things, cultural preferences and all. So, who does it? See, at the moment, it is only the Western countries who are doing this kind of thing.
Exactly. So, it hasn't reached us yet in a big way. Yeah.
And their cultural milieu, their customs and everything, they are different from ours. So, we have to develop our own. And that is why, you know, the institute that you are talking about, it is now necessary that we train people, Indians, to become conversant with artificial intelligence, start developing programs so that it is useful for us. You know, we cannot import a software from somewhere else which is developed for their country because as I told you, the culture, everything is different. So we have to develop it for our own country and that can be done basically by our own people.
So how do you see this institute shaping up? What do you think will be the strong points here? You're saying that they'll develop our software in tune with our own needs as compared to blindly aping the West, which generally is the norm.
I think that is what is expected of them. But again, as I told you, artificial intelligence is still very new to our country.
Exactly.
And as it develops, as it grows, things will change again.
So do we have enough experts, in-house experts in India, we can bank on?
The thing is, I tell you, as happened in space, I repeat this example because I've done a lot of study and interacted with a lot of space scientists. You know, when United States went to space, and the Indian space program started, there was a suggestion that we should send our people to the United States for training. And Professor Yashpal, he was the chairman of the Space Applications Center at that time. He said, why should we send it to them? What is their experience? Their experience is only of, again, 2-3 years. So we'll train our own. So we didn't send any Indian to the United States for training in space. We trained them. So similarly, I think it's not important that whether we have experts today, but we'll have experts because this is a very infant area or upcoming area. So I think, you know, the training institute, when they start training young people, they'll definitely, you know, develop into experts.
So as an expert, do you see any area where, as a threat or probably when we're talking about artificial intelligence in Indian context, so any areas that we need to be wary of probably or we should be a little cautious about that, you know, these are the areas we should not tread? At the moment, at least?
No, that is very difficult to, you know, pinpoint at this point of time. Because as I told you, there are concerns about privacy. Because in any such system, when data is available across the board, as I say, so there is always a concern about the breach of privacy. So that has to be, you know, guarded against. That, I think, whatever system, you know, are developed, so they have to take care that such, you know, protection, such preventive measures are there so that this threat doesn't become a reality.
Thank you so much, Mr. Basu, for talking to us.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on Artificial Intelligence for Development. The participants were Biman Basu, science writer, and Rithima Kaul, journalist. The program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.